Donate today to be entered into KBOO Spring Sweepstakes. One lucky person will win a six-month VIP pass to the Crystal Ballroom, a week-long artist residency at Southwestern Lodge, $200 in gift certificates to Portland Saturday Market, and 10 treatments to working-class acupuncture. A donation is not required to enter. All money raised will be applied to KBOO's spring membership drive goal of $95,000. For every $15,000 raised before May 5th, we will shorten the drive by one day. To learn more, go to kboo.fm.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Copiosis Portland Tour. Capitalism Always Was Temporary, Saturday, May 9th at 4 p.m. at Tabor Space in Portland. Copiosis is a proposed socio-economic innovation that frees human civilization from debt-based economics, socio-economic domination, and government control. It proposes to eliminate all market externalities caused by traditional capitalism to spur innovation and to hold people accountable for their actions. Again, that's the Copiosis Portland Tour, Saturday, May 9th at 4 o'clock p.m. at Tabor Space, 5441 Southeast Belmont Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community. Hey,
we said we don't want no capital.
Good evening. My name is Taria Autry, and I am your host for Poetic License. Thank you for tuning in to KBOO Portland. I have guests in the studio tonight from the Obo Adi Legacy Project, and we have Susan Adi here, as well as Tasha Triplett, and we're going to be talking and sharing and playing some music and giving you some poetry tonight. And I want to just start by saying I got involved with the Obo Adi Legacy Project because I went to this performance called Diatribe, and it was incredible. And at the time, I was saying no to just about everything because I was so busy with my job at that time. And after seeing that performance, I was like, let me know what I can do to be a part of this because this is incredible. So to just say a little bit about Diatribe, I want to play a recording that is me introducing this concept of Diatribe. Here we go.
Born and raised in Accra, Ghana, Obo Adi grew up surrounded by music, dance, and song. His father was the village's spiritual healer and performed all of the ceremonies, and his mother was a lead dancer. As part of the daily soundtrack, creative expression served as an essential element of life, as important as water, the land, fire, and air to breathe. These traditions fueled the living history, honored the ancestors, influenced and instructed each generation. When master drummer Obo Adi came to the United States, he carried these gifts with him and shared them in abundance, influencing and impacting youth and adults for decades. Even though many African American youth were centuries and thousands of miles removed from their African homeland, Obo saw the commonalities between their expression as well as the shared story. Watching the rise of hip-hop, he heard its polyrhythms and witnessed the movements of the dancers, and he didn't see something foreign. He saw family and the connections between them. This production is in his honor and memory, and the fruit of his visions and hopes to bring communities together through the shared heartbeat of rhythm. Diatribe. Two continents, various artists, engaging in a serious study, discourse, and critical dissertation. Welcome to the experience.
Thank you for tuning in to Poetic License tonight, and welcome to the Obo Adi Legacy Project. We are here in the KBOO studio, excited to share some ideas and thoughts with you tonight. So let me introduce my guests. My first guest, we have Susan Adi, who is the executive director of the Obo Adi Legacy Project. And I just stall on the position title because I feel like what Susan does is so much more than any one title could ever contain. She's incredible and amazing, and I'm so glad that you were able to join us today. Also, we have Tasha Triplett here, who I met actually in a residency I was doing at Lincoln High School. However many years ago it was an African American studies class that they were doing, Mike Sweeney and a team of teachers, Andre Hawkins, and a couple other instructors as well. And so I'm really glad to have Tasha here. She's currently working at Da Vinci and just doing amazing work with Obo Adi Legacy Project and just in general around education and curriculum, and we'll talk more about that. So Susan, let's start by, if you could tell us, like, so Obo Adi Legacy Project has been the name since it changed from the Homo'o Festival, and I'm curious, so it was that name before Obo passed, and it's still the Obo Adi Legacy Project, and so even more so now that he's not with us, this responsibility of carrying on the tradition is a really important one. And I'm curious, like, how do you do that? What does that mean for you? And if you could just tell us a little about the Obo Adi Legacy Project.
Sure. Well, we started with the name of Homowa, African Arts and Cultures, back in 1986. And the word actually is taken from a festival in Ghana, and it means booing at hunger. So it was kind of a harvest festival. And we used that name because we tied it to a festival, which we did for 15 years here in Portland. So as we went along and we stopped doing the festival, people would say, well, you know, what's the name of the organization? Oh, it must be Obo Adi's organization. So it just seemed logical then to change the name to something that reflected his name. And he was ill for the last few years of his life. And so knowing that, it just seemed as though we needed to carry on his legacy and his ideas. And that was how, you know, we came upon that name, came to decide to do that. And for me, you know, I've just kind of committed my life to him when he was alive and then to his ideas because it made so much sense to me. And so I've lived it and worked with it for over 30 years. And it made a lot of sense and to continue with his ideas that had to do mostly about how do we engage youth, how do we connect African music and culture to mean more and to be more accessible, especially to the youth. And so that's really been my mantra as we've been continuing with this.
Well, I know I'm really, really glad and excited that you're continuing to do this work. And, you know, I've seen what it's done for students in the class. And, you know, I know the tireless energy and effort that you put into that. And if people don't tell you on a regular basis, I just want to say thank you for that. And really just take a moment to just thank your family for what they've contributed, you know, not just to Portland and to Oregon, but to the country. Really, you know, when we talk about Oboati, we're also talking about, you know, someone who brought world music to the United States. And so there's, you know, this huge role that he plays in bridging these musical forms and bringing new things to the country. And, you know, how can you thank someone for that, a gift that's so priceless? So again, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And now, Tasha, so the Oboati Legacy Project, how did you get involved in the project?
I got involved the project the same way that you did. Actually, I was there that first show for Diatribe in the Alberta Rose Theater, and I met Oboe previously through Michael Sweeney, through knowing Michael Sweeney through the African American Studies class at Lincoln High School. But I met Oboe and kind of like helped him out, I think, the summer before the show, and different places where he was playing around, helping him move his equipment. Sweeney was the chauffeur and I was kind of like the roadie, helping set things up. So I just got to know Oboe that way, and hearing his amazing stories and his great sense of humor, and developed a bond. And so when the Diatribe show actually happened, I was just so even more just seeing all the pieces come together from what I've heard him talk about, and then knowing Mike Crenshaw in the past through activism, it just got me really excited. And that's something that I wanted to help work with, particularly using my expertise of writing curriculum and working with youth and combining those passions of mine.
Nice. Mm-hmm. And some of what you've developed, we're calling it drum language. Mm-hmm. Tell everyone a little bit about drum language and what that entails and what it's trying to do.
So drum language is kind of like the little engine that could, because it tries to encapsulate the vast richness of the African diasporic cultures. But we're using Oboe's story kind of as a bridge for connecting a lot of themes that are raised through our various cultural expressions outside of Africa. And so Oboe's story starts in Africa, starts in Ghana, starts with his cultural heritage as someone who's from the Ga ethnic group in southern Ghana. And so we follow his story, learning about his culture and how he got interested in music. And then we follow him as he, and also his culture. So we do it through real-time contemporary, but we also do it through the historical lens and the cultural lens. And so we follow cultures from Africa, Western Africa, as they leave Africa and move into the South and South America, the Caribbeans, and the Americas. And we trace that through the development of music and culture all the way up into hip hop. And so it's making these large jumps, but the way that we're able to tie everything together is in such an open, accessible way for young people, and it meets them where they're at and things that they're already interested in. And they get to learn the backstory behind things that they maybe have taken for granted, like, for instance, how all American music genres are tied to the six African musical elements, and that is a direct result of the history of African peoples in this country.
Right, and this, you know, that cycle and the circle of music that's like ever flowing, and what is it to come in at one point of the circle and not acknowledge and just see it as a point versus seeing the whole continuum of it. I think it's really powerful. And you know, I know you have a piece that talks about that, and so I was wondering if you would perform Sankofa for us.
I'd love to. So this is a piece I wrote called Sankofa Hip Hop, and I actually wrote it in November of this past school year, after our first year of kind of developing this program and sharing it with schools in the Portland metro area. So here's Sankofa Hip Hop. Freedom beatbox rock steady, don't stop. Scratches on the wax is hocking in, beep bop. Boogie down rhythm, cypher going hard. My old two hip hop five elements traveling far. Miles on the trumpet, DJ on the beat. Yo, African rhythms moving your feet. Yes, it's bigger than the Bronx. Go back way past Ogong. Galactic funkin' bop, oh, the message so strong. The world keeps on spinning, hip hop's global now, sifting the BS from the realness like coming up from underground. The world keeps on spinning, hip hop's global now, sifting the BS from the realness like coming up from underground. Ancient ancestral connections pass through the DNA. Black dot symphony surviving to this day. Hard not life, come with it if you spit it. Not about the chains, it's the people you dig it. Gender equality, always pressing on the mic. B-boy, B-girl, my aunt keep the balance right. Fulfilling our destinies, this is not all we are. Knowledge is the heartbeat connecting us to the stars. The world keeps on spinning. Hip-hop's global now. Sifting the BS from the realness like coming up from underground. The world keeps on spinning. Hip-hop's global now. Sifting the BS from the realness like coming up from underground. Story told to be told, ancient vibrations bring you through. Celebrating phonetical genius, a new nation born on two. Black earth rides up, true power in the mind. Not waiting for this empire to fall, give me five on the black hand side. Twisted tag of pyramid, see it from the moon. Vinyl history revolution, a brighter day coming soon. From Billy to Biggie, Congo Square to Lamar, Bambaataa to Ciroc, this movement is art. From Billy to Biggie, Congo Square to Lamar, Bambaataa to Ciroc, this movement is my heart. The world keeps on spinning. Hip hop's global now. Sifting the BS from the realness like coming up from underground. The world keeps on spinning. Hip hop's global now. Sifting the BS from the realness like coming up from underground. Thank you.
That was Tasha Triplett. You are tuned into Poetic License on KBOO. Portland. My name is Taria Autry, and I'm so glad you tuned in. I have Susan Adi here as well, and we are talking about Obo Adi Legacy Project and the drum language curriculum that Tasha Triplett has been working hard to design, and that was a beautiful poem. Thank you so much for sharing that. So Obo Adi Legacy Project has been in quite a few schools and institutions this year. So there's been quite an age range as well, right? Because the project's worked with elementary school students with the drum language.
That's right.
All the way through to high school. Yeah. And even some young adults, because in incarceration, some of them may have been even older than 18.
Yeah, that's right.
What are some things that you've noticed in regards to working across those ages and those cultures in Portland as far as how people are receiving the information and this message of connection between Africa to the present and throughout the diaspora?
I'll jump in there. I feel that the most powerful thing, like, we've worked with kindergartners all the way up to high school level students, seniors, seeing the connections between themselves, their history, their culture, what they know of or what they identify with as their culture and their history to Africa, and I think Obo's story, just that being very powerful for them. For example, working with kindergartners, you know, there's only so much you can get into with depth with them, but just for them to see the similarities between Ghana and the United States, you know, or Ghana and Portland, for instance, or Oregon. Just that in itself was, you know, because Africa is still seen as this place that is so foreign to us here in the United States, or a place with so many problems that it's not similar to the United States, and that it is, that's not true. That's not true at all. And then for the high school level, I think kids connect with it at a lot of different levels, whether it's through learning about African cultures, particularly the Ga culture and the history of Ghana, but particularly I think seeing the richness of African culture still in the United States, but it's just kind of subversive in a way. You know, kids, when we do this thing called the six African musical elements and how does it connect to music here in America, and kids who are, you know, will tell me, oh, I love heavy metal. You know, I don't like hip hop, you know, or I like country. And then when I break down what the six African musical elements are, you know, for instance, polyrhythm, that connects definitely to heavy metal. They're
absolutely
just using different instruments. Mm-hmm. And so when they start seeing that connection, they kind of, you know, their eyes are kind of open and they have to, you know, take the rest of it in, whether it's something that they might have not seen a commonality with someone who has a different culture or a different skin tone than they did. And now they start seeing how they all kind of are connected through this history.
Yeah, that's beautiful and powerful work. You mentioned subversiveness, and I was thinking about, I know one of the lessons that you do is around looking at and decoding spirituals, mm-hmm. and this idea of, you know, subversive lyricism. Mm-hmm. I thought that might be an interesting thing to talk about because it's not a new dynamic, yeah. right? And so I think a lot of times people, when, you know, for those who are listening and, you know, maybe,
you should know me by now. I mean, this is episode 4, and you should just know me as a person, hopefully, and if not, get to know me, because I'm pretty awesome. But, you know, the thing about it is, so part of why it's poetic license is because, for me, all these things are super related and absolutely interconnected. Mm-hmm. So when we're really talking about, like, poetry and lyricism and that history, there's so much to that. And, mm-hmm. you know, we were actually talking before this show started about, you know, storytelling. And when we talk about when humans were first gathering together, you know, probably maybe even before they figured out the fire thing, mm-hmm. they were figuring out story. Mm-hmm. And it's been the entertainment. Like when we think about how much people are attached to, say, their smartphones mm-hmm. or the television or whatever your form of entertainment is, you know, all of that still connects back to our need and our hunger mm-hmm. for story. Right?
And we told stories in poetic verse. You know, it was helpful for people to remember. So if you were traveling to another encampment or a group of people or society, you could share your stories with them and it was more relatable to everyone. So it's a way we've been communicating for a long time, even if we're not speaking the same language. The drum itself can tell stories and have poetic rhythms to it for communication.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it's interesting to have young people look at, say, a spiritual and a song that they might go, okay, I've heard that maybe before. Mm-hmm. But for them to really understand how when a people are oppressed, mm-hmm. they have to find alternative routes to communicate, and that lyricism becomes one of those routes. So one of the things that mm-hmm. in the curriculum that you designed is really looking at a particular song, you know, Follow the Drinking Gourd, mm-hmm. and really going lyric by lyric and saying the message that's between the lines in this. Mm-hmm. And I think to myself, like, that long-standing tradition of dual meaning, right, mm-hmm. of having to have the coded message as well as the message that's up front. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think about how that's connected to hip-hop. Mm-hmm. And so with that in mind, I think it'd be, maybe we could play a song. And this song that we're going to play is called The G in Us. And it is Mike Crenshaw, who was a guest with us last month and is part of the Oboati Legacy Project. And he actually recorded this in Arusha, Tanzania at Watangwa Studios. And so let's check out some Mike Crenshaw, The G in Us.
Hey. The music, man.
Generate, observe and decipher. Try not to disturb, learn to make it light for the python, the wiper, bird and the spider. Eyes on the horizon, the future is brighter. My sutures get tighter, my wounds, they heal. We're in tune with the moon, I improve and rebuild. I travel, then I roam, I come home and chill. Write poems to reveal what the moments conceal. Tanzania to Tacoma, got diplomas in the field. Born in Chicago, so my form is ill. It's the God in us, makes us cosmic gardeners. It's the G in us that keeps freeing us. So in God we trust, we believe in us. We come from the sun and the trees and the dust.
Umbane.
Lightning, Asante, Sana. We keep on breathing and fighting cause we wanna. Yeah, cause we wanna. Hashe.
It's the G in us. In the big room, now go away. And if I got it, it's the G in us. And nobody's gonna save us. We gotta realize it's the G in us. In the big room, now go away. And if I got it, it's the G in us. And nobody's gonna save us. We gotta realize.
Navuta picha kila kukicha nazita futa. Siwezi juta hata ziki unga ukuta siki taji pupa. Najua kifo nitazikuta. Ninapiga moyo bonde mabonde nitayabuka. Wanauza nyeti kwa magazeti kisa ni senti. Tumia akili mjini madili feki. Wakutamani kutatamani miili feki. Nyingi kero na jero zingine feki. Pia buku na kuku wengine feki. Huku burugu na mbu feki. Kwenye kifazi tembo na nyumbu kidadi feki. Na mapenzi ni pesa na ona upendo bas. Pesa toa kupenda kuonyesha upendo nas. Toto haki pinda mapindo kwa fimbo pas. Bora wani uwe kulipwa ni kate ratio. Aso business, yeah.
So
off. Tell us to little in your city, some so called. Brothers and sisters, bengena be puma quiz bokolo si stress. Then you start to feel it when they say life is a test. But when you check in, you reflect, but you're rich and never success. And it's bad, the way they get between the rich and the poor get stretched. With my people at the bottom, that's why I'm riding this race. So black, it's not a coincidence that your life is a case. With the rich man on top of the ladder, taking the cash.
Stop chilling us. In the big room, Nakuwe, and the Bagati word is not cheating us. And nobody's gonna save us. We gotta realize it's not cheating us. In the big room, Nakuwe, and the Bagati word is not cheating us. And nobody's gonna save us. We gotta realize.
Kwanini mkakambi jadili kutukataa. Pinga zetu nyimbo na rakati mita. Mnajadili vile mtatupoteza kisana. Amjuiji yupo ndani ya wetu wazani. Na spiti kinya na nukia mtaki na ba. Midondoko yenu kinyona gafla inasinya. Rapazi mnajaribu peto na moto wa mka. Mtakufa kawadudu wakifuata mwanga watani. Pona jinda ni yangu mwokozi wa mta. Na pumua ganja kiakini paka mumisi pipa. Hitimu haifungiki hata mwe mavudu star. Ya farm junge next timu ya gaya mastala. Gaya mabrata min tokoe mita. Hamjagundua chukiana ndo watui wacha brau. Masikini wako endo shujawa ilo thoruba. Amirijeshwa mistari ni mifunga kwa tumba.
Stop chilling us. Inda bikum na kuwe. Andi bagati word. Stop chilling us. And nobody's gonna save us. We gotta realize. Stop chilling us. Inda bikum na kuwe. Andi bagati word. Stop chilling us. And nobody's gonna save us. We gotta realize. Inda bikum na kuwe. Andi bagati word.
You are tuned into KBOO Portland, and that was The G in Us, an unreleased track by Mike Crenshaw featuring artists when he was traveling with the Hip Hop Caravan. That track was recorded in Arusha, Tanzania at Watengwa Studios. And so you just got a sneak preview of the Hip Hop Caravan CD there. They're mixing tracks and artists that are collaborating across continents are putting down some amazing stuff. And, you know, this back and forth and like reciprocity that is hip hop. So, you know, connecting to the six elements of African musical traditions and that then spreading into all these genres that become, you know, music in the United States and throughout the Americas. Then hip hop comes and it starts feeding back to the world this new thing. So, you know, talk to us, Tasha, a little bit about, you know, hip hop and high life. Like, what's going on with hip hop and some of the things that you see in Ghana?
Okay, so a part of my position with the Oboadi Legacy Project and writing curriculum is trying to be up with actually what's happening in Ghana today. And the type of hip hop there is called hip life. It's a combination of high life music, which Obo did have a high life band. He was a part of high life music. It was brass instruments using traditional rhythms and languages and songs and very upbeat kind. People would say it kind of sounds like reggae a little bit, like kind of just the rhythms and the types of instruments that are being used. But hip life is the highlight, or is the high life hip hop version of that. And so the amazing thing about it is that it has its own separate dances as well as DJs who battle and dancing. So it borrows all of that culture from the hip hop movement starting in America, and definitely paying honor to it, that making it a global movement. And so particularly it's amazing because it's just a combination of so much. It's honoring cultural roots. It's honoring, hip hop. It's honoring so many things. And the great thing about it is that it shows how hip hop is used as a tool. Like you're talking about lyricism, the tool, but lyricism, but also the other elements of hip hop, using all five elements to really pay homage to anyone's culture, their own culture, or rebirthing that, reclaiming it, or decolonizing themselves, using hip hop as that tool. And so Azan, which is one of the dance forms of hip life, does that. And I have an Azonto song that I've
fabulous
shared.
And it's called Historical Song.
Yes.
And it's by Fuse ODG. And we are going to play that for you now so you can get a taste of hip life.
And I'd like to dedicate that song to Lynn.
Fantastic, Lynn. This one's going out to you. I miss you already.
It's you! dance. Okay, it's off the ground. Na 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 oh yeah. I go be your fella, keep our people together. The police arrest me, and still I go love you forever. Yeah. I go be your Mandela, don't go put me in a cellar. 20 years of prison, and still I go come out and give you all my love. Yeah. And you could be my Elizabeth, would you be my queen, girl? And I'ma keep every pound I get just to have you on me. Yeah. And you could be my Elizabeth, would you be my queen, girl? And I'ma keep every pound I get just to have you on me. Give you your independence. Be my ass until for me, you bang, you bang, 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 bang. Protect you, Landoa. Issue I'm defending. My Rosa, hold your gun, represent for your own. We gonna be living our dreams, so be my queen, I go be Luther King, go. A lab of Marley said, we go fight for a battle with that Stevie Miko. And girl, I go give you the action. I feel it like I'm Michael Jackson. I don't want you to be my ex, I go be your ex. Lama, come here, we go. Just to have you on me, you gon' be my history girl.
You were just listening to Historical Song by Fuse, ODG. We are exploring the variety of influences, the continent of Africa throughout the diaspora to the Americas, and then the influence of the Americas back to the continent. It's a beautiful thing. And, you know, maybe Susan, could you tell us a little bit, you know, we were talking about hip life mm-hmm. and how it is kind of this modernization of high life. Can you tell us a little bit about high life in that tradition?
Sure, I'd love to. Well, high life started around the turn of the century in the early 1900s, and it was an influence of sailors and people who came to the shores of Accra who brought Western instruments with them. So they came, they brought trumpets and various horns, and then that merged with the traditional drumming and singing and traditional flutes that they had in Ghana. And eventually this became high life. Obo used to say that part of it, because it changed then from the sailor type stuff to dance music. And so people in Ghana who were doing well would dance to this music because they were then celebrating the high life.
Gotcha.
Because they got to go out and do almost like ballroom dancing in the early days. And then as the Western influences kept coming to Ghana, high life kept changing with the times. So it sounded like, you know, foxtrots for a while, and then okay. it changed to reggae at one point. Mm-hmm. It changed to, well, they had one they called Burger High Life, which was a German influences.
Interesting. On,
yeah, so it was a kind of music that just kept taking the influences from around the world and adapting it to be this form of high life, which then now is called hip life because hip hop came to
it's
Ghana
like the,
as well.
The new thing.
Yeah. So it's really an in cultural diffusion.
Yeah,
there
cultural
you go.
Diffusion. Cultural diffusion is a catchword for our program.
And will you just, for the people out there who just kind of give them a definition of like specific, like how would you define cultural diffusion for our listening audience?
In the layman terms, cultural diffusion is simply one culture borrowing aspects of another culture and infusing it with their own. So there's, for instance, with the example of high life, there people in Ghana were taking Western instruments, brass instruments, and then using them in their own culture and playing their own cultural rhythms and singing their own in their own languages and mixing that within their culture to create something completely different. So that's cultural diffusion, the literal diffusion of cultures mixing together.
And mm-hmm. I don't want to put you on the spot, mm-hmm. but could you maybe, how might that look different than, say, cultural appropriation?
Okay, so that's very different than a cultural appropriation because it's not so much power. Like when we think of appropriation, that's power of taking ownership over someone else's culture and denying their right to express their culture in a certain authentic way. And cultural diffusion doesn't do that. It's kind of like the two-way street of people just mixing. I mean, when we think of America as a melting pot, that's kind of cultural diffusion where, you know, people can move here from various European ethnic groups and other places and share their
and other
culture.
Places questionably depending.
Yeah. Depending exactly. But then people can live in communities that share this rich history of this different culture. Like I grew up in the Southwest. And so Southwest is kind of an example of that. Some Mexican culture, some Caliente culture. It's a mixture of people because of generations of indigenous people living in that area, as well as black ranchers, you know, and cowboys and cowgirls. So it's this rich connection that we hardly ever name. People just kind of take it for granted. But there's a very different... There's a big difference between cultural appropriation and cultural diffusion. And usually with cultural diffusion, it's, I don't want to say it's like the bottom, but it's just like anyone can kind of mix in with that. Like people who are oppressed. Like
It's accessible.
So for instance, all of American music coming from the six elements of African music, for instance, jazz is cultural diffusion. You know, jazz is taking the elements from, you know, Congo Square, the only place in the Americas where people who were enslaved could actually play and express their culture freely on Sundays. You know, with European hymns coming from the churches a few blocks away, with songs, work songs coming from the prisons that were a few blocks away, you know, and as well as field, you know, labor songs from the plantations people were working on, mixing that with Caribbean music and instruments from Spain. And like, so all of that came, it created with those rhythms and the instruments and the flavor and all the things. And that's what gave birth to jazz. And so jazz is a perfect example of cultural diffusion versus cultural appropriation.
Right. And I think, you know, with hip hop and thinking about, you know, DJs wanting to keep a beat going mm-hmm. and they're working with oftentimes their parents mm-hmm. or family members' records. Mm-hmm. So it becomes this like generational thing of like borrowing and using mm-hmm. the music of the folks before you.
Recycling.
And diffusing it so that more people can then go, oh, hey, I may not have heard of that. You know, it was interesting. I went to Guapale, this sold out mm-hmm. Music festival, and a fabulous friend of mine, thank you, Shalonda, took me to see Guapale. And there was this point where she was doing the original, which is like Between the Sheets, mm-hmm. but the beat, then of course Notorious used it later. Mm-hmm. And so the beat's playing, it's a live band, it's beautiful. And so she kind of holds the mic out for the audience to like sing along, and they start singing Notorious. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm pretty sure that's not what she was going for. Mm-hmm. And then she starts actually singing Between the Sheets. And then I'm watching around the audience is like, I continue to sing because I know the original song as well. And everyone else is kind of like, oh, some of the people who are, you can tell they're just like, oh, wait, that was a song mm-hmm. before that. Mm-hmm. So I think it is interesting that cycle of music. And mm-hmm. there really isn't anything new under the sun.
No, there is not.
It, you know, it's always, there's just different variations. And it's fascinating to be in this era of copyright mm-hmm. when
the whole phenomenon of storytelling in music is that an elder shares it with you. Mm-hmm. As you grow up, you pass it on. So it's always the cyclical thing. So mm-hmm. of course it gets rehashed. And you put your own little flavor on it when mm-hmm. you tell the story mm-hmm. or you sing the song. But it keeps going, it keeps alive. So this exactly. the way that music is still doing that recycling. I mean, now there's mm-hmm. copyright issues, but you know, from mm-hmm. the very beginning, that's how it's kind of mm-hmm. always been. So it's interesting.
And I would just quickly add the genius of it as well. You know, people growing up in the Bronx who started hip hop didn't have brass instruments to play. No. They didn't have someone to teach them lessons. So they took right. their parents' old records and they used that and they created their own music. Even scratching, you know, was an accident. And then it just became its own form of expressing the instrument of the turntable and the right. wax. So it's all about the creativity and people working with each other and just creating these beautiful expressions of their identities and who they are and how they operate and move in the world.
Exactly. I was mm-hmm. just imagining like the first cycle of people scratching their parents' records, and you know their moms and dads yeah. are like, "What are you doing, yeah. son?
Exactly.
What are you doing, daughter? You better leave my records alone." But we're so glad that they figured out all the various DJ moves and the many sacrificed albums that had to happen for that to take place. You know, sometimes there might be, you know, a little price. So I think, you know, I wanted to play another song, but we have some fabulous Oboati mm-hmm. music. But the next song I wanted to play was We Say. But Susan, will you tell us a little bit about the song before we play it?
Sure. This is a song that Obo wrote probably in the early 1980s. He had first formed his band here in Portland, and he was having a really hard time finding musicians who would play his music or wanted to play with him. Mm-hmm. So he had mostly a white band, and he got a lot of criticism for that. So the song is We Say We're Gonna Do It, and so it was kind of like an anthem that he wrote mm-hmm. to sort of stress. Here he is, and he's doing what he can, and, you know, this group of musicians are going to be able to do something great. So that was it.
Beautiful. So we are going to listen to We Say by Oboati.
to tease you. Not concerned with what he do, only what we do. You see, I can never deceive you because I need you. From dawn to dust, without trust, love is only lust. How can people be so scandalous? I pray every day I can handle dust, pressure, and be a real man and not the lesser. Life's tribulation is the true tester. Right and wrong, you gotta be strong, and we can all live long. Together we can crush the grain, destroy the material brain, create a new flame on the one love train. In a world we're saying it's insane, it's simple to maintain. A true definition is what it seems. We do what we say and say what we mean.
So you just got a taste of some unreleased music. That was a version of We Say with Obo Adi, and then the MC on that, who was that, Susan?
Cappuccino.
Well, fabulous. That was great to get a little sneak peek of that. And now I hear you're working on releasing that, and is it an album or... Tell us about
that. Yeah, I'm trying to finish up the mastering. It will be called The Best of Obo Adi. Nice. And Obo re-recorded and rearranged all of these songs. And we've just been waiting for the last one to be added to it. And I'm hoping to release it within the next few months. So this is a preview version.
So we couldn't play it all for you because we got to leave you wanting more, because it will be coming soon. I'm excited to hear about that. And if people want to keep in touch with what's going on with Obo Adi Legacy Project, what is the website that they should visit?
Well, the website is www.oboadilegacyproject.org, and you can just look there, and we have information about what's going on and how to contact us as well.
And also, if you are interested in bringing something like Drum Language to your school or your organization, mm-hmm. or you're looking for ways to actually really inspire young people, speaking to them where they're at mm-hmm. through this lens of hip-hop and culture, contact them. Mm-hmm. Now, teaching and educating around Africa, right? Why is that work so important? Why do we need to continue to do that work with youth?
I think it's so important for the way that we teach history and culture in America to be more encompassing of what the world looks like. It's the 21st century. America's not isolated anymore. We haven't been for a while as a continent, or not as a continent, but as a country. And then even the North American continent hasn't been isolated. And so I think it's about time that we start paying tribute to the way that other cultures and countries have impacted our culture and history and people and so on and so forth. I mean, there's so many examples, but I see the relevancy, particularly in the activity we kind of use to launch our program in schools, which I do an Africa brain dump, in which I have Africa in the middle of the board, and then I ask kids to shout out whatever they can, whatever comes to their head when they think about Africa, movies, television, things they saw on the news, whatever it is, and I organize a list in a very purposeful way in which they don't know about. We have a discussion about it afterwards, but I organize it in a way that everything is true goes above Africa, everything that is false goes under Africa, and then everything that is true but kind of skews our perspective of Africa, like for instance Ebola, that often comes mm-hmm. up, and Ebola is only in three countries, and Africa is about 53 to 58 countries depending on who you're talking to. So it's a very small fraction of the entire continent that is facing this horrific health and medical crisis. But it skews our picture of what Africa is. And so then we have a conversation with the kids about it. And we've done that with elementary age kids as well. You know, they're like Lion King, or the only person they know is Nelson Mandela. Like, why is that? Why is this the only information that we know about this continent that's the place scientifically where everyone came from and has such importance, not even historically, but today with the resources that we use for our computers and jewels. And I mean that Africa is important to our health and development and economy and everything. So I think it's important to know that history and not just, you know, push it aside or think of it as something that's less than, when it's so vast. I mean, we don't even talk about all of Africa. We focus on Ghana because it's so vast.
Right.
It's a continent, not a country.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's interesting to really start to break down these ways that are really created to view countries based on a colonial perspective, mm-hmm. because in that perspective, you know, colonies are what are deemed as the places we're just going to usurp resources mm-hmm. from, they don't really get to tell their story, which mm-hmm. also comes back to the storytelling element mm-hmm. and like what happens when that story is left out. And talking about Africa as the cradle of civilization mm-hmm. and we talk about, well, if we don't know where we've been, we don't know where we're at, we don't know where we're going. Mm-hmm. So how Sankofa. Does mm-hmm. anybody on the planet, if they're not just paying tribute to the roots of civilization in Africa, have any idea of where they are or where they're going? Mm-hmm. So really important work. There's so many things that I want to talk to you guys about. and I think, you know, we were talking about, you know, Sankofa. And so it's interesting that in saying that, and that goes back to a symbol, mm-hmm. this idea. So it's always this thing of repetition. And we were talking about how music borrows mm-hmm. and brings into it. And I think this next song, tell us a little about this next song we're going to play, Fire, Wind, Then Earth by Ciroc.
Mm-hmm. Ciroc is an amazing new independent hip hop artist coming out of Atlanta, Georgia. I really highlight her in our teaching. I purposefully highlight female MCs, queer identified MCs, indigenous MCs, underground MCs, African MCs, because I feel like that's left out of top fruity hip hop and what kids know.
Definitely.
But Ciroc in particular is a poet, or she's a spoken word artist, but a poet. And this song particularly talks about how writing for her is kind of a stress relief, but also it empowers her and her identity, and she connects it back to her identity as a black woman with roots in Africa.
Nice. So we are going to listen to Fire, Wind, Then Earth by Ciroc.
To the right side of my brain, infect you with my inflections, impress you with my refrains. 120 verses of personal self-reflection, painstakingly written to clarify your perception. Ciroc will not be compromised from lines that break bad or wax but fall flat at press time. I'm destined to take root in stars, but right now I grind in suede boots and silk scarves. I'm built hard with soft spots and weak moments, and through all of the challenges I just keep forward, cause I pray that I was speaking, y'all would understand the pressure that it takes for God of C to be human again. I'm stressing. Thug is not an option, but mediocrity's taunting me, following every rhyme like a hawk, and I know that they can't wait to catch me slipping. But this one is for you and me, so we gon' polish up this gold blister. His words sound power, my sonic boom just blowing out mics and stage lights. I'm consecrating sound, who's dressed in all white. Pass me your super hit, I'm just getting the mood right. About to throw it down in the kitchen, cause this is food, right? I done got my weight up, building my body of work. Probably display my medals, cause healing is valiant work. I'm 14 days fast and disciplined self-mastery. Fire breathing, get that high energy moving faster. I am Phoenix, look at how I'm rising from the ashes. Knocking the opposition out the ring, call me Cassius. My team extraordinary, that crew is average. If they going left, I will exit stage right. Rewriting text till I get the fill in the page right. My mother shit music changing your brain patterns. This is outer space technology, science is game shattering. Never dissipates, it refracts and bends through the looking glass lens. Watch for lies, sit and wait for the moment.
That was Fire, Wind, Then Earth by Ciroc. You are tuned in to KBOO Portland. My name is Taria Autry, and I'm your host for Poetic License, the first Monday of every month at 10 p.m. You know where to find me in Portland. Actually, when I leave the radio station tonight, I have about 24 hours left to vacate my apartment. I mean, I didn't get kicked out. I'm moving, if you didn't know that. and so I'm going to go home, and I'm going to finish boxing things up. It's a little crazy, but you know, when you miss me, because you'll miss me, mm-hmm. when you miss me, what you can do is you can tune in the first Monday of every month. You can get more information about where I'm going to be at, what I'm up to
online. I'm going to try to be consistent about video blogging, writing blogs, and other such things. My website is TuriaAutry.com. That's TuriaAutry.com. And for those of you out there who, as you should, are really interested and fascinated with Oboati Legacy Project, and you want to know more information about that, you can contact Susan and get more information about the various projects that are going on by going to oboadilegacyproject.org. That's Oboadi, O-B-O-A-D-D-Y, legacyproject.org. We hope you'll check it out and get more information. Mm-hmm. This work is... it's critically important, and I think, you know, we're so many of us out there are really involved in youth work and getting information to young people, because we all want to see a future where folks show more appreciation for the roots, mm-hmm. the foundations, the things that have really helped shape this country, and our presence is one of those major things on so many levels, not just on a cultural level of mm-hmm. arts and music and entertainment, but in science, mm-hmm. In exactly. us having any wealth as a nation, like you name it, mm-hmm. there have been contributions. And so I think this work of really looking at the contributions of Africa as a continent, mm-hmm. As well as, you know, Black people throughout the diaspora mm-hmm. is a very understated history in our text that we're given, but critical for us to really move forward with respect in the way that we walk through the world. Is there anything that you'd like to say in this last minute or so before we leave for the evening?
I would just quickly like to say thank you, Taria, for having us on your last physical show here in Portland.
You're very welcome.
And I want to do a quick shout out to Karen Shea's class at Sunnyside Environmental School. That's where we are wrapping up this week with our school's program for this year. And y'all are awesome. I'll see you Wednesday.
Fantastic. And Susan, are there any last things you'd like to say before
just,
we take off?
Just watch for the CD, because we're hoping to get it out within the next few months, and I think everyone will really enjoy it.
Well, I'm super excited about the CD and looking forward to it. And while we're doing shout outs, I want to just give a shout out to Raleigh Park Elementary School. I did a residency with third graders there, and they were fantastic. They did a reading at their local Starbucks, and I was there. I recorded it. So if not next month, the following month, but in the next couple episodes, I plan to play some of their poetry. I also met with, there's another group of middle schoolers that are doing Slam Boo, and it's six middle schools that were involved in that. The prize, one of the prizes for the grand prize winners, was to do a workshop and write a collaborative piece with me. Okay. So I got together with some fabulous young women from St. Helens Middle School, and they performed the group piece that won the title for them, mm-hmm. and then we wrote a piece. So I'll play their winning piece, and I'm hoping that by the time I air it, I'll get to hang out with them again so we can record the spoken new piece that we wrote. So lots of youth. Mm-hmm. Verslandia, I'm hoping mm-hmm. to get some of that audio. For those of you who missed it, amazing.
Yeah,
so
a lot. Yeah.
Youth, youth words, youth lyricism. Yeah. We're here. We're helping inspire that movement because we know their voices matter. Mm-hmm. And we are also paying tribute to the incredible and amazing Oboati and all the great things mm-hmm. that he gave to this region and to the country and the world. Mm-hmm. And we're keeping that legacy alive with the Oboati Legacy Project. And you can find out more at oboadilegacyproject.org. And we're going to actually go out tonight with some more music by Oboati. And this song is called Wayeko.
wabo.